This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Welcome to a special episode of Screensaver Plus. You are back here with Candace Parker Earle and my dear friend, who you've known twice now, Emily Noah. This is a special episode because I don't know if you remember what you paid for when you started paying for this, but one of the things that you become a part of is this brain trust under the Friends from Work umbrella. And we have a new idea that we're kind of noodling on today that we want to bring you into. It's okay to be awkward.
Tell us, what's your new idea for this podcast that I'm so lucky to be a part of?
Okay. So here's the deal. We want to talk about movies that are kind of below, like, I want to say top 40 because that's like the music equivalent, but I want to talk about movies that kind of fly under the radar but show up massively at festivals and awards season. And a lot of those films come out of production houses like A24, Neon, which used to be under the Alamo Drafthouse umbrella. It's kind of its own thing now. There's a new one that's been around for a few years called Utopia that I'm super into. But what took me by surprise when Emily and I first talked about Lady Bird was how many people hadn't seen it. And I felt like that was such a miss because that's such a beautiful film. And then Greta Gerwig went on not only to make Lady Bird, which was like a film we loved, but then wrote and directed Barbie, which became such a big hit this year. And like, what if we had all already seen Lady Bird before that movie? It just would have been such a rich time. And we just want to keep bringing that experience to everyone. Yeah. So.
And depending on where you live, I mean, we're very lucky that we live in Austin, a movie city, but these movies might not even be in your main go-to movie theater. Mm-hmm. If you don't seek them out, if you're not lucky enough to live in a place with an indie movie theater specifically, you might just miss them until they come to streaming.
It's so true. But not only that, we're going to talk about a movie today that I don't have much of a life, but which is why I talk about these movies all of the time. But the movie that we will get to later on, it flew under my radar. I actually didn't really realize what it was until you told me about it. So I say that as like, you know, anyone could miss these.
Yeah,
deep cuts. And not only that, I think these movies are going to be pretty accessible. Okay, so back to the test lab, and I really want you to know what you guys think. The title we've come up with for this new project is The Friendly Neighborhood Video.
Yes.
The aesthetic is going to be, you know, those two losers behind the Blockbuster counter.
If you have the same 90s nostalgia that we do.
If you're familiar with going to the video store and not really knowing what to watch, we want to kind of be those people. And they're movies that mean a lot to us. So I think we're going to have really good conversations about them. And how do we plan on doing this? This sounds crazy, but I think we're truly just going to spin a wheel.
Quite literally.
Quite literally. In so much that I think Emily and I are going, for this particular season through the end of 2023, bring together 12 different films that mean a lot to us that fall under this nuanced category that I've kind of been dancing around. And not only that, we kind of want to bring you into that as well. So if there are certain movies that are in your zeitgeist that you feel like, oh, I just wish someone knew to talk about this movie. It's a cult classic, but no one's ever seen it. Those types of things. We'll have some discussions about that in the Discord. So the episode following this one, Emily and I are going to get together and kind of do some... It's like the beginning of a board game where you have to like pick your cards before you get started. Yeah. So I'm going to let this episode get out. And then I want to kind of hear from you guys how you're feeling about this idea. If you think it sounds extra stupid, then I'll just start crying and then we won't do it. But if you have some ideas of movies you want to contribute, that will be a good spot to do that. So I'll let Robbie kind of handle the logistics on that. But anyway, I hope you guys are along for the ride as we kind of start figuring this out. And if you've made it this far, I appreciate your patience. We're really looking forward to doing this with you. Last little bit of housekeeping before we kind of get started in talking about the movie I'm really excited today is that Emily and I have been spending the day working through something that you may have read in the previous Sunday selections. It's the Vulture movie Fantasy League. So I love this because people are super into the NFL draft. And whenever those conversations come up, I usually just have to be quiet because I don't know anything. But having a movie fantasy league, that is something I could really get into. This is a free way to follow the movies that are probably going to be up for awards during Oscar season coming up. They're a dime a dozen. And it's every movie that's come out in 2023, 2024 that could potentially be up. And we are creating a Friends from Work League. So if you missed that in the Sunday selection, maybe go back. There's a lot of silly rules and regulations that I would probably quote inaccurately. But we would love for you to join our league, which is called Friends from Work. Hit me up in the Discord if you want to be a part of it. Okay. Emily.
Hey.
You've been a little quiet over there.
You've just done such a good job painting this movie landscape of what a week we're going to have. I picked my 8 movies for the Vulture Movie Fantasy League today, and it was stressful and fun. But stressful, the logistics are easy, guys. It's easy and free, but the picking was stressful.
Oh my gosh, I felt like King Solomon trying to split a baby. I really had a hard time picking my movies.
Sophie's Choice. Yeah.
Truly, that's a better way to put it. So bringing it back to what is going to be kind of a sample of what we want to do moving forward, we are going to talk about a movie. I'm being very vague because I want Emily to introduce it. But what I want to tell you now is that this discussion is going to be spoiler free. And I say that because I think it's going to catch you at a weird time. This movie has been in theaters, but I think it's probably going to be available for rent soon. I looked it up. You can buy it. It's in that weird phase now where you can buy it, but you can't rent it.
Okay.
I don't really understand why they do those things, yeah. But let me tell you, it does get me. I own some very weird movies because I can't
wait. Yeah. I think a lot of people have spent $30 on Barbie this week.
It's so true because think about it. Like, okay, my movie tickets, if I hadn't seen it yet, it is a privilege to go to the movies and not everybody can make it. So like, it's kind of the cost of a movie ticket. Anyway, that said, you can listen to this and feel excited to go see this movie, and this will be more of that and less of a reflection.
Yes.
Okay, so anyway, without further ado, Emily, please introduce the film Bottoms.
I would love to. So, as Candace mentioned, our movie today that you maybe saw and loved and are excited to hear us gab about or missed your radar and you want to hear more about it, and we'd love to encourage you to see it, is 2023's Bottoms. So I heard murmurings, I feel like, all summer long of this is going to be an amazing comedy and laugh out loud funny. It was an Alamo Drafthouse Recommends film, which is always a big badge of honor in our club. And so this movie was written and directed by Emma Seligman. And if you want to feel depressed, Candace, she's 28 years old.
Oh, my goodness.
And so she co-wrote this, I think, with one of her very good friends, who is Rachel Sennett. And so let's do some background for this crew. So Candace and I have both seen and loved Shiva Baby.
Mm-hmm.
And so Emma wrote and directed Shiva Baby, also starring Rachel Sennett. So they've mm-hmm. got this very cute friendship, NYU buddy, like, blossoming film relationship going on. So Rachel Sennett is a very funny comedian. The Bottoms kind of made me feel like a proud mom because I have followed these girls on Twitter for probably
a long time.
I was going to say 5 years, but maybe like double that.
Yeah.
And I just always thought they were so funny and clever, and their sense of humor was so different. And it's been so fun to see them become feature film stars. So,
oh my goodness. I know the Shiva Baby overlap, or I guess it wouldn't necessarily even be overlap. The progression of a film like Shiva Baby, which I want to briefly talk about for a moment, into a film like Bottoms, which kind of had a major theatrical release.
Mm-hmm.
Shiva Baby was a movie that I watched during COVID. And if you haven't seen it, you can stream it or rent it. But it's so hard to watch. The best way that I can describe the film Shiva Baby, which is kind of the predecessor to Bottoms, is it's like the Uncut Gems, but in a church lobby.
Absolutely.
So think about all the feelings of wanting to leave the church event.
Yeah.
And how stressful it feels. These like young budding actresses and directors encapsulated that feeling to the point where I think I had to like pause the film and walk around because I was so stressed out. Yeah. Really did a number.
It's a real feeling. They just nail a very real specific feeling. Yeah.
It's so, so good. It's so rich.
Also has our lovely gal from theater camp, Molly Gordon, in it.
Yes. And that's the other reason we wanted to talk about this movie today, which makes me really excited. This is not always going to be a theme of the Friendly Neighborhood video. It's good to have this conversation now because I think it kind of puts a bow on our previous Barbie episode.
Barbie hot pink bow.
Yes. Emma, say her last name again.
Seligman.
Emma Seligman is another example of a female director I'm really excited about.
Yes.
And completely missed her. Should have talked about her on the Barbie episode, but consider this a leftovers. So
yeah. So this NYU crew of amazing, funny women, Iowa Derby stars in it, who is also friends with these women. She plays Josie, and her friend Rachel co-stars as PJ. And I would love to just intro this film with a quote from the director, Emma Seligman.
Yes.
So this is from Emma's Instagram. And when she was asked about writing, her and Rachel wrote the movie. And then when Emma was interviewed about directing it, she said, "I really wanted to make a stupid comedy for queer girls. And Rachel really wanted to make a stupid comedy for horny girls. I wanted to take on the genres that I wish I could have seen myself in as a kid. Those movies were boys fight to get the girl."
Oh my goodness. That just weirdly gave me chills. So I think that's a good place. So a lot of people who have not seen this film would probably hear that quote and be like, what is this film? Do you want to briefly just like give a plot overview?
Absolutely. I would say that this movie revolves around best friends in high school, Josie and PJ, who both identify as lesbians, and they are trying to get dates and hook up with girls at their high school. And they decide that the best way to do that is to install a fight club at their school.
Like a Brad Pitt Fight Club.
Truly bloody, violent Fight Club. Sponsored by NFL star Marshawn Lynch.
Marshawn Lynch plays their teacher. And it is... I love the successful athlete-to-actor transition. Mm-hmm. I think John Cena has done it beautifully. I mean, The Rock's an actor now. You barely remember him in the
WWE. He defined the genre. Yeah, career-bending, genre-bending.
Everyone, listen to me. Marshawn Lynch in this movie, he might be... I mean, he's so funny.
It's so good.
He took me by surprise.
I need to find the story behind them casting them, because I bet it's an amazing story of how it came to be.
Just think about this movie about these queer high school girls, and Marshawn Lynch is like truly a linchpin of the story.
Truly. It's genius. And so, I mean, really, that's the very basic plot of the movie. Mm-hmm. And the trailer had me really excited. Great music. The score is done by Charlie XCX mm-hmm. and one of her, I think, you know, music co-workers, and it's brilliant.
We talked about her in the Barbie episode, too.
Yes.
Real big fans over here.
She's making her moves in the movie world, which is really fun.
She did the kind of themed credit song in Bodies, Bodies, Bodies as well. And it was one of my top songs on Spotify last year.
Yes. And again, like the Rachel Sennett crossover. Mm-hmm. We loved Bodies, Bodies, Bodies. And so it's just fun to see what this film group is doing. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, that was really all I knew going into it, was mm-hmm. I'd heard it was an edgy, up-and-coming comedy starring women. And I knew it was about a high school story. And I went in blind other than that.
You didn't know about the Fight Club?
From the trailer, I knew about the Fight Club.
Okay.
I knew a Fight Club was involved somehow. And so watching this movie, it's, again, that's spoiler-free, but it takes place in a heightened reality, which is really fun.
It is so crazy because you can't really pinpoint what year it is.
Absolutely not.
It's so... It's an absurd comedy.
A phone book and a razor phone is used in one scene, and it's like...
You're like, wait, I thought this was happening in 2023. It's just silly stuff like that.
Yes, it's outlandish and over the top and laugh out loud funny. And I remember when I saw it and I told you and Robbie, you guys have got to go see it, because I was dying to talk to somebody about it. And there's really... You're very limited, spoiler-free, talking about it. And so mm-hmm. I asked you guys to go see it, and you were like, I've heard it's kind of, like, anime-ish. And I was like, yeah, it is. That's a good descriptor.
It pulls kind of some anime vibes. You'll know it when you see it. I can't really explain why I feel that way. It also kind of has a Tarantino-esque ending, which kind of shocked me. I'm telling you... The reason we're talking about this movie is because it's beat anything I've ever seen. It's been one of the more refreshing films that I've been able to go to the movies and watch, because, and I've said this over the last few years, I really just lamented how few comedies are out.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like this year, it's also really telling with just kind of where we are culturally. I think like coming out of COVID, it was just, everything was so dark. Everything was so heavy.
Yeah.
Everything had to do with like really tragic mental illness. Like I feel like there were a lot of movies like that where I was like, oh my gosh, like this is such a reminder of how sad the world is. Bring in this new wave of what I think is kind of closing out everyone being obsessed with the 90s and now moving towards probably the 2000s, which is ushering in a renaissance of just stupid, stupid comedies.
I mean, this was the summer of the female comedy. We had Jennifer Lawrence and No Hard Feelings, mm-hmm. which we still haven't seen yet. I'm curious about.
Mm-hmm.
And then Barbie, technically...
Oh, yeah.
Female starring comedy. And now we've got Bottoms, and it's just... Women now have the right to make stupid comedies, just like men.
And, you know, I would actually put this in the category, you know, a good double feature would probably be watching Booksmart and then Bottoms.
Yes.
Because you got two high school female friends, you know, kind of losers that end up on this, you know, really weird experiences. It's just... it's a laugh a minute.
It's a laugh a minute. Yeah, lots of book smart overlap. When I've been describing it to friends, the most easy basic way to say it is just like, it's like a female version of Superbad, which I think just kind of gets people hooked. And it is, it's just so fun and fresh and different. And,
yes.
You know, the world of rarely seen things that are truly just came from someone's brain and are obviously influenced, you know, by other movies. But this is just truly creative and different. And it was so fun to see something just special and new and shiny in the theater.
Yes. And I think I'm really happy with where Rachel Sinnott is landing in Io Debris, who, if you don't know her, she's in The Bear. And she's so good. I hope she's in more funny things.
Oh my
gosh, her delivery is so good.
She's so talented. She deserves Emmys for her performance in The Bear. So good.
You know, one thing that I found interesting that I wanted to talk to you about is Kaia Gerber's career.
Okay.
So...
Let's get into it.
If you guys don't know who I'm talking about, you probably do. But Kaia Gerber is the daughter of Cindy Crawford. She's a supermodel. She dated Pete Davidson for a while. I don't like it when women are known for that, but you might have remembered her from that. But she is kind of making her way into a model actor crossover. Here's the thing, Emily.
Yes.
And I'm not trying to be a hater.
Okay.
But I think she was good in this movie because the directing is so good.
Wow.
I actually don't think Kaia Gerber is quite there yet for me.
Okay.
And this is coming from me who could not do any better. I'm being kind of a hater. But I'm saying that I feel that way, but I'm also encouraged because... She made like a very quick cameo in Babylon. I don't know if you remember that.
Oh, I do remember that. Yeah.
And then she had this role in Bottoms.
Yes.
And while I don't find her to be like, I don't look at her and think, it's just like everyone else kind of acted around her. Or, you know, she just isn't an actress.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm really encouraged by the projects that she's picking.
Absolutely. I'm proud of her as well. When I saw that she was in this, I was trying to remember what other film she's been in. I forgot about Babylon. And I thought she did a great job in this. And I bet you're right. I bet feeling like safe and comfortable and goofy and just being surrounded by people that let her play around and have fun. But she plays kind of the stereotypical hot high school girl. And it's like she runs with the stereotype and it's very fun. And
I think so too. And I think she does do a good job. But whenever I was, the other thing, I don't think this is a spoiler. This is a surprise and delight. There are bloopers at the end of this movie. Again,
yes.
Ushering in the 2000s. I love the bloopers. Emily gives me a really hard time because I love the women and men tell all on The Bachelor.
Yes.
And the reason I watch it is for the bloopers. But when I was watching them and they kind of do different cuts of her where they're trying to do different kind of improv stuff, you can just tell who's been at NYU and who hasn't.
Who's been at UCB and who hasn't.
Exactly.
I'm glad you mentioned that because that's another thing that I loved about this movie is I don't mind when I'm watching something and I'm thinking in my head, they're improvising this right now, but they're doing such a great, funny job that I don't care. And there's many scenes like that where Io and Rachel's characters are just improvising off of each other. And you're like, these women are hysterical.
And not only that, I love it when I'm watching a movie and I can tell that everyone just had such a good time working on it.
It looked fun.
You get a little FOMO because you didn't,
I know.
You're not qualified to be a part of it.
We missed the text to just hang out on set. Yeah.
I know. I can't believe I'm going to say this, but... You can kind of, like, a great example of the opposite is Don't Worry, Darling.
I can sense the energy coming off.
And, that's probably, like, me projecting based on what the internet gave me.
Yeah.
But I think even without it, you're watching this movie and you're like, doesn't look like you guys had fun.
Yeah, not quite. But Bottoms is a party.
Yeah, 100%. So here's what I think. If this has sold you, take a Friday night, order a pizza. Whatever vice you have that makes you the silliest, I think this is a really fun excuse to, you know, pull that out.
Absolutely.
And just, it's just so, you know, it was a cleansing film. I texted Emily. I went and saw it by myself again yesterday. And I texted Emily afterwards and said, my teeth are dried out because I was smiling for too long. Like, I just had this goofy grin on my face the whole time. And I left the movie theater and I was like, why are my teeth so dry?
And then my teeth were dry from reading that text. It made me so happy. But that's the feel, just guttural laughing. And I mean, I would say too that I'm normally not a fan of, I don't know how to say it without sounding condescending, stupid comedy.
Okay, let's talk about this. That's fair, but you were more susceptible to I Think You Should Leave than I was.
I knew you were going to bring that up. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the thing is when it's done well, and like I said before, I think some I Think You Should Leave sketches, this is Tim Robinson's show on Netflix, if anyone's not familiar.
Anyone that's had a conversation with a male knows what I Think You Should Leave.
Yeah, knows what we're referring. And it's very hit and miss for me. Like some have tears rolling down my face and others I'm like, I could have done without that. And Bottoms just, it was executed perfectly.
It really is such a balancing act. And then, you know, I really like going to see stand-up comedy and improv groups, and it's just, you know, I don't know. I grew up on it. Like, my parents really like it, too.
Yeah.
And I really don't enjoy it when people feel like they have to be, like, so absurd or super crass and graphic to be funny. It just feels like, oh, you're being, like, this is low-hanging fruit. But whatever this movie is masterfully done.
And I'll say it was less crass than I thought it would be going into it.
It's just ridiculous.
I thought it would be a little bit more graphic, and it just leans, ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And they weren't leaning on crassness like for cheap laughs, I feel like. It's
Which is just so, that's like a Jerry Seinfeld rule too.
Yes.
I'm going to misquote him, but he has like a whole bit about not really swearing in his stand-up, and it's one of the things that I think makes him great. It's because he kind of reaches up for the higher joke. And whatever is done here, you're just like, this is, what am I looking at?
But if he's reaching higher for like the better joke, they just reached like out to the left and grabbed whatever they could.
Yeah, top left. That's so true.
I loved that you talked about it's Tarantino-esque because it truly is. It's like they use, if you're like a non-gore person, I think the fight scenes are made so purposefully Tarantino-esque and over the top that it's not unsettling, at least it wasn't to me. And yeah, it's so much violence, like the quantity of it, that it becomes a comedy.
Right.
We also have to talk about Io is a known Letterboxd user,
which
is so fun because I started following her. I'm sure everyone's familiar, but Candace and I are both Letterboxd users, movie watching app where you can track and rate what you watch. We love it. And recently Letterboxd did an interview with all of the bottom stars. And whenever they're doing red carpet interviews, they ask people their four top favorite movies. And so that was fun to watch.
I really love, sorry to cut you off, but I really love Letterboxd red carpet presence.
Yes, they're doing a great job with social media and interviews.
It's such an easy win for them because I eat it up every time I see them come across my algorithm, and it's, you know, Nicolas Cage gives his four favorite movies, you know, or Tom Hanks. Like, they just, and everyone's so excited to talk to them.
Yes.
And they're just the good guys. It's so cool.
It's, I think everyone else, you know, is asking like personal questions or questions about the film that they've seen 100 times. Mm-hmm. And then they just get to a reporter who's like, hey, can you name your top four favorite movies? And they're like, oh,
I know, I love it.
So, okay, so Io has been on Letterboxd for quite a time when she was kind of just, you know, like a know-nothing up-and-coming comic in LA. And so it's really funny that she's now a star and is still on Letterboxd reviewing movies. And so it went viral, but she, of course, reviewed Bottoms and was like, yeah, me and my friends are in it, so...
But not only her, she's not the only person in her family that reviewed it.
Yes, we also saw her dad's Letterboxd review that went viral, and it was adorable. It was the most dad review ever. And then at the end, like, he put like a legal disclaimer, like, to show bias, I am the father of Io Derby. It's so good. It's so pure. But yeah, love the Letterboxd connection to Bottom. Strong connection there. So, okay, I have a question for you.
Let's hear it.
Does this go into the pink femme comedy power movie vault that we talked about? Speaking of Letterboxd, I started the list on...
Oh, okay. Put a pin in that because I want to hear the list again.
Okay.
And to answer your question, no. I have this in a new category.
Okay.
And it goes into the same category as John Tucker Must Die.
Oh.
She's the Man.
Okay. Okay.
This is the type of comedy I'm referring to. So female-led high school. I didn't even have time to really craft a full list, but yeah. I'm telling you that this is a genre in and of itself.
Like a clever high school. This is where we would put She's the Man.
She's the Man. She's all that. Like,
okay.
It kind of, Booksmart, I think would actually, I don't know if we put that in the last one, but I think it would carry over here.
To that list, yeah.
But we're splitting hairs at this point.
It's all getting very blurry, but I agree with you. I think that's a good way to split it up. Yeah, if anyone's on Letterboxd, let's see, I created the list. Pink femme movies. And so, as we discussed before, Mean Girls.
Well, backing up really briefly, if you haven't gone and listened to our Barbie episode, we created a list of movies that we would kind of consider pink femme, which Barbie obviously spurred.
Yeah.
This is Emily's official and ongoing list on Letterboxd. So let's hear it.
Which it's really fun. Oh no, I did add Barbie. I thought I left Barbie off for a second. I was like, that's the whole reason we did this, but she's on there.
Okay.
We've got locked in Mean Girls,
mm-hmm.
Clueless, Legally Blonde, Barbie. I believe our friend Lucy had the idea to add Miss Congeniality, which was
a great
ad. Yeah,
that's great.
Promising Young Woman. Okay.
So when I'm hearing this, I don't think Bottoms falls into this. And it's because the girls in the movie are self-proclaimed ugly and untalented.
That's true. If you're self-proclaimed ugly and untalented, you go into the other list.
There's just no way you can share a list with Miss Congeniality.
Yeah, it's true. Let's see. Okay, I also put Erin Brockovich in this list. Does that count?
Ooh.
It's... obviously not a comedy, but
we'd have to take that one to court.
I know. We'll have to consult the lawyer about that. But I was pretty much looking at this list and I'm like, if it involved pink feminine things and it had a strong female lead and is a great watch, I pretty much added it.
Okay.
And especially if it had like a 90s and, you know, mm-hmm. and forward, moving forward. Bridesmaids is on this list.
Nice.
And then I put Romy and Michelle's High School Reunion on this
Sick.
List.
Sick. Okay. Are all of the covers of these movies the exact same?
It's pretty aesthetically pleasing.
Let me see it. Hand me your phone.
I'm going to have to delete some that we talked about to put them on the other list.
Yeah. Okay. At least if we're going by covers, Bottoms does fall into it. That's just, it doesn't though.
Yeah.
Like it would be an outlier.
Yeah.
Oh, this is so hard.
Okay. It's really tough stuff that keeps me up at night. Mm-hmm. This is the weight I have to carry with this list. So yeah, so that's kind of the update on the pink femme vault list. Please mm-hmm. send us suggestions
mm-hmm.
if there's obvious ones that we've missed. Go see Bottoms if it's still in theaters.
I know. We really just can't stress this enough. It's a lighthearted time. Take your partner, take your bestie. If, you know, rent it at home. I will take fault if you don't like it, but I really just feel confident in giving it as a rec.
Yeah, if you guys don't like it, I'll give you Candace's personal cell phone number and home address, and you can just tell her like it is. Just
jokes on you. I don't open my door or answer my phone.
That's true.
Okay. Emily, any closing remarks on the film Bottoms?
It's a dang good time. It makes me feel great about Gen Z.
Yes.
We didn't really touch on that, but it is a Gen Z film through and through. And it mm-hmm. makes me feel very hopeful about them eventually taking over Hollywood and passing on the torch. I think it's going to be chaotic and fun.
I think Gen Z's funny. I mean, they're mm-hmm. super mean and they hurt my feelings all the time. My sister sent me a Gen Z tweet the other day that said I was too old to go to Olivia Rodrigo. And yeah. I just ignored her because I thought that was like, you're being hateful.
Yeah. All we want to do is listen to Olivia Rodrigo and people are giving us a hard time about it.
Uh-huh. But I feel the same way. You know, I watch their TikToks when people send them to me. I'm not on TikTok because I'm just so sleepy. But
she'll watch the ones that I send her. So
I always get the joke like 6 months after.
She's one of those that'll send it to me on Instagram Messenger 2 weeks later.
I don't think that there's anything wrong with that.
Hey, if it's funny, I'm going to watch it again.
Thanks.
Yeah.
But I feel the exact same way. It is like a hard pill to swallow seeing this amazing 28-year-old director because you're like, man, you're doing such a good job.
Such a good job.
I got to start being, you know, a better cheerleader and less like how are these kids doing it? Because it's just not a good look.
Yeah. We're their number one cheerleaders. Yeah.
So, yes. Whew, man, I'm so glad to get that off my chest. I've been holding that movie in for so long. I really don't see films. I don't rewatch films like you and Robbie. So to go to a movie and to, you know, pay for a ticket to see a movie a second time, I'm telling you, I really liked it.
Yeah, that's true.
So moving forward, you will be hearing from Emily again as we start to build up the Friendly Neighborhood video. Please reach out to me in the Discord and let me know your thoughts on this. We're really just grateful for you guys for listening because this energy has to go somewhere. And if we can meet up with you and talk about movies, that sounds just like so, so refreshing. So next time you hear us, we are going to be just kind of, you know, dealing out some movies.
Spinning the wheel
and hopefully adding some of your suggestions as well so we can all kind of take part in this movie club. This is kind of like the kids that eat lunch in the art room, which I did in high school, but this is our movie club.
That is the energy, kids that ate lunch in the art room.
Right, yeah. That would have been me.
Yeah, or the theater room or the band room. Yeah.
Yes, the band, art, theater kids. I love it. And you know what? Those are actually some of the most welcoming people.
Yes.
And that's what I want to be too.
And we just want to be, you know, elbow up, leaned up against the virtual Blockbuster counter. What are you checking out? What are you getting? Have you seen this? Like, chat with us. You know, make sure to rewind and have it back by Wednesday.
Yes.
Let us know what you're watching.
Did you know, you did know this, Robbie's first job was at a Blockbuster.
Yes, which explains a lot.
And not only that, Robbie got fired from Blockbuster.
I wasn't going to say it, but you did.
And in true Robbie fashion, and it makes sense now because he's an attorney, he was able to talk his way back into them hiring him, which is just so frustrating. But anyway, that's the Robbie T on Blockbuster. Okay, Emily, always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure.
And we will see you here in a few days where we talk more about movies in the Friendly Neighborhood video.
Thanks, guys.